You're listening to KJZZ's Here and Now. I'm Steve Goldstein in Phoenix. Discussing the legacy of Frank Lloyd Wright and his creations has grown more energetic in recent years in the Valley. The possibility of a redesign of a house Wright built for his son and daughter-in-law led to passionate efforts to preserve the house and eventually to a sale to an owner who wouldn't make dramatic changes. The latest edition of The New Yorker includes a story on a New Jersey couple who bought a Wright-designed home and planned to stay in it forever until Hurricanes Floyd and Irene led to concerns that it would be damaged severely by weather. So the couple sold the house to Walmart heiress Alice Walton, and it's being moved bit by bit in three tractor trailers to Arkansas, where it'll be preserved in a museum. With me for a few minutes to talk about that is writer and architecture critic Walt Lockley. Walt, good morning.
Hi, Steve.
So how does this New Jersey home fit into the whole of Frank Lloyd Wright's career, his designs?
Well, this is a Usonian house. It was built in near Princeton in the middle of New Jersey in the mid-50s. And it's one of about 25 Usonian houses that Wright designed between the late 30s and up until his death. There are about 25 of them, and they're all similar in that they are relatively low-cost and relatively simple houses for people with small budgets. You can say whatever else you want to about Wright, but he always had his door open for people with small budgets, and he always considered that a good use of his talents and a good challenge for his design genius.
Why are Wright's designs still so impactful? Why are so many people drawn to them?
Well, I think there's two parts to Wright's career, and this is really the only problem that I have with this house being saved. One part of Wright's career is his individual genius, and there's no getting around it. I personally tried to resist the idea for a long time because I'm sort of contrary, but he really was an authentic genius. If you get past all of the self-promotion and all of the gossip and all of the, you know, allegations about his personality and all that stuff, at the bottom of all that pile, he's still a genius. The other part of his career, though, is that he founded a school, and he ran that school for 30 years. He founded it in the Depression, and I'm talking about Taliesin. Mm-hmm. And in that school, he had dozens and scores of very talented people working for him and vying for his attention and arguing with each other and experimenting on themselves and each other. And all of that accumulated, you know, practical expertise. That's not genius exactly, but it does constitute an unprecedented sort of source book for design ideas. And the genius is gone, and we still have the design ideas. We still have Taliesin available to us. Now, this house in New Jersey, I don't think it's a work of art. That's the only problem I have with it, you know, being taken to Bentonville, Arkansas, and put in an art museum and regarded as an irreplaceable object. I think that separates people from the real helpful, useful, relevant design ideas that are still in these Usonian houses.
And while it may not apply to a Usonian house, but with Wright's creations, at least the way a lot of us see him, the creations tended to fit into nature where they were built. Does moving the house then, in fact, take away some of the reasons it would have been built in Princeton in the first place?
Yeah, that gets to the preservation argument. Are you really preserving something if you move it to Arkansas?
Yeah.
In this case, probably not, because the Usonian houses, they're not all, you know, cookie cutters, but they're all very similar. And there's not going to be a whole lot about this house that you know, responds to that specific site. That's in contrast to the David Wright house that you let in with. That house was designed for the desert, for its site in Arcadia. And I think we should all thank Scott Jarson and the others who pulled together and saved that house. That house, on the other hand, is, you know, a unique work that's tailored to its site and really is irreplaceable.
In the New Yorker piece, the couple that has sold the house was talking about how closely they had bonded with it. Almost, they'd lived there for more than 20 years, and it had been something that was really important to them. But in a real spiritual sense, does that Does that hit you as someone who's into design and into architecture, and does it hit you more because it's a Wright house, or could that happen with countless numbers of designers and architects?
There's something about Wright. You can look at all these, you know, practical, there's a whole long list of, you know, of this expertise about the built-in furniture and how it saves space and the manipulation of scale and all those tricks. But there is something undeniably humane and touching about experiencing a Wright house, and I envy the people who are able to live there because they're in a constant conversation with something that's almost better than nature.
His legend continues to grow, and I want to follow up with this as well. When you hear about this particular house, even as you said, it's not necessarily one of his more unique ones, how has his legacy continued to be affected by stories like this?
Stories that his house is being moved?
Yeah, this idea that it gets this much attention that, as you said, it's not quite the same as preserving a house as the David Wright house was, and yet, because it's a Wright house, it still draws so much energy, so much passion.
Well, his reputation is secure. There's no doubt in my mind that he's going to continue to be regarded as the greatest American architect of the 20th century and maybe for all time. The more we talk about him and the more we observe his lessons, the better off we are. The only worry that I have is that people, you know, maybe want to attend to him for, you know, their own reasons, and they perhaps imagine themselves with as much latitude or as much, you know, opportunity for self-expression. They want to put themselves in his shoes, maybe. But he can accommodate that, too. Again, the more we pay attention to him, the better off we are.
Writer and architecture critic Walt Lockley talking about Frank Lloyd Wright. Walt, thanks so much.
Thank you.